Monday on February 11th.
Absolutely.
Plenty going on. Terry, great show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, putting up with me as you always do. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll be back next week with more right here for you at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Steve Kathan. At least 9 deaths are blamed on the icy storm that has pounded parts of the South. In Texas, hundreds of thousands don't have electricity.
Chainsaws roared. Crews worked to clean up icy debris caused by the winter storm.
I was a little shocked. I didn't realize it was going to be this bad.
Customers say frozen limbs are falling on roofs and cars and are blocking roads.
Reporter Paige Hubbard of affiliate KEYE. Heading into the weekend, the Weather Channel's Greg Postel says the northern half of the country is in for bone-chilling temperatures.
Wind chills will be like about minus 50 in Maine over the next couple days. Something to watch as this Arctic air mass moves into the northeast this weekend, but then quickly moves away by early in the week.
The Republican-led House has voted after a debate today to oust Minnesota Democrat Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee, citing anti-Israel comments. The day after his first debt ceiling talks with House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, President Biden used the National Prayer Breakfast to urge unity.
Let's just sort of kind of join hands again a little bit. Let's start treating each other with respect. That's what Kevin and I are going to do. Not a joke. We had a good meeting yesterday. I think we got to do it across the board.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer says he plans to resist tying spending cutbacks to the debt talks.
If you want to debate closing tax loopholes, which we did in the IRA and we would like to do more of, if they want to debate spending cuts, that'll be a budget process to do, but it shouldn't be tied to the debt ceiling, plain and simple.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders has been picked to give the GOP response to President Biden's State of the Union. CBS's Jim Krasula tells us a free school lunch might come of a certain price if a lawmaker in one state gets his way.
Republican Idaho State Representative Ron Mendive wants children to work for their free school lunches. Mendive says that might cut down on the amount of food students waste. The lawmaker did not say whether he envisions young students sweeping floors or wiping down tables to pay for meals.
Health officials advising people to stop using over-the-counter eye drops, Ezra Care artificial tears that could be causing an outbreak of infections. The CDC reports 55 people in 12 states affected. CBS's Stacy Lynn tells us today was the big day of the year for the groundhog we know as Punxsutawney Phil.
Groundhog!
The plump little rodent stared at the crowd, then...
Speaking in groundhoggese, directed this, President Dunkel, to the proper scroll.
Which said...
I see a shadow on my stage. It's 6 more weeks of winter weather.
Wall Street, the Dow is down 86 points. The NASDAQ is up more than 300. This is CBS News.
This is terrifying.
This is really a whodunit.
This is the moment of truth.
This is 48 Hours.
This is a senseless murder.
This case reads like a movie script. It's just more like a horror movie.
This is real life drama.
This is crazy.
I'm the only person alive that has ever walked out of his own grave.
This is how we make a difference.
This is real.
If it wasn't for 48 Hours, there would have been a funeral.
This is 48 Hours.
Available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
In 1968, Americans were introduced to something new.
This is 60 Minutes. It's a kind of a magazine for television.
5 decades later, 60 Minutes is America's most watched news program.
You believe this is the toughest challenge humanity has ever faced?
Absolutely.
But if you miss the TV broadcast, you can listen to full episodes as a podcast.
That's really clever.
60 Minutes, Sundays on CBS, and available anytime, wherever you get your podcasts.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 5 above. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows dip down to about 2 above. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs level off around 29. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 9 below.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 3rd, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theaters, Silver Foxes. We have Chris, Tronda, Jerry joining us. Looking forward to talking with them. Right now, in studio, Wisconsin State Representative Scott Crew. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, James. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you doing, man?
I was good till I just heard the weather lady say 9 below. It didn't feel like that till she said it. But
We're going to spend the next 20 minutes telling people how to stay warm. Yeah. That's all we're going to do.
My hand just got cold just thinking about it.
Immediately got a shiver from that. Yeah. Scott, I want to talk to you about a couple of different things today, and I want to leave some room for you to have the floor for anything you might want to touch on.
It's all free-flowing, man. It's all good.
I wanted to start, because we do local radio here. We focus on local and Wisconsin politics. But because of your background, you know how it is. I like to pick your brain about world topics at times, too. So if you don't mind, I want to start there.
Yeah.
And one of the bigger things that is being talked about right now in the news, especially with politics, is the George Santos situation.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I hate to start on a moment like that, but I don't want to talk necessarily about him.
Right.
I think that there's been enough talked about him. For those that don't know, he has admitted in the recent leaked audio that he was lying about all these
things. My favorite part is all the Facebook memes about everything that comes up. Or do you see some of these commercials that are out there? They're just, I mean, it's just the parody of it is just, anyways.
I don't know why. I thought this ever since, like, I watched the first episode of CSI.
Yeah.
Like, why do people try to get away with anything anymore? Like, you can't even jaywalk and not get, you know, like, there's always going to be, there's cameras, there's this. Nowadays, with the amount of data that there is out there, they're going to do their homework. I mean, you can't just throw things around and not expect people to look into your
background. Yeah, maybe in the 70s or 80s, you could fudge a resume.
Maybe.
Who's going to, you know, I mean, come on, though. Yeah, it is. It's insane.
It is a personal story to me in some ways, because anybody that would lie about Jewish heritage or losing relatives in the Holocaust, it obviously hits a little close home to me.
Yeah.
But I would like to think that that would affect anybody. Anybody would be bugged by that. Because I don't think, I know that nobody in human history has ever said, I like being lied to. Like, nobody likes that.
Right. Yeah.
Now, it would be one thing, I think there would be a learning moment here. Had all this come out, and had he done the classy thing, the honorable thing, and kind of been like, yes, I lied, I'm owning this, I'm excusing myself from these committees, I'm excusing myself from the job.
Period. Yeah.
I'm just refreshing just to make sure before it happened, didn't happen while we were going on live here and everything, he still has not resigned.
No,
he still
he
is
won't.
In position. Yes, you're right.
Flat out says, I'm not. And it's just, it's bizarre because... you know, when you see a situation like that, I always go back to my initial conversations when I started getting involved in this. And, you know, we talk all the time about how I admire Tommy Thompson and just the way that he carried everything and the way he went about politics in Wisconsin, how we need to get back to that. And I always remember him just telling me that, you know, you just tell people the way it is. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, at least they respect you because you had the courage to tell them exactly the way it was.
Yeah.
How hard is it? So, I mean, we've been doing this for the last few years, and I tell people, hey, this is the No BS Express, man. If you want to hear it, you want to yell at me about it, that's great. I've been in law enforcement, married twice, had six kids. You're not going to do anything to me that I haven't been through already. So I don't get guys like this. And, you know, I talk about this with some of my colleagues in Madison. I'm like, you know, I wish it would be that easy to get into Congress in some of the districts we represent. It really shows how great the people are that represent our districts in Wisconsin. Because it is almost impossible to get a congressional seat in Wisconsin because we have such high caliber people. But then you look at some of these other places in the country with guys like that get elected to Congress, and everybody's like, oh, okay. Like, wow, what I wouldn't give to live in that district and just say, hey, you know what, there's this guy, or you could do this. And it just, it's mind-blowing at some parts in the country.
I want to focus on two parts of this. One, the vetting process that is involved. Do you think that we need a better vetting process or need a vetting process, period, when it comes to, you know, representatives from every level being, you know, putting their hat into the ring before it even gets to that point, vetting these individuals and seeing, hey, do you meet the quote-unquote requirements? Because it's a dicey area, it's a gray area. Right. We all love the fact that we all grew up being told anybody can grow up to become president.
Yeah, the requirements are you got to be this age for Congress, you got to be this age for whatever, you got to be a resident of your district. I mean, there's not, you know, educational requirements because we're all different people, all have different expertises, and it all adds into this huge collective pot of information that we all tap into, right? So that's great. I don't want a litmus test of some sort, but it comes back to voters in those districts being aware and understanding and open to, you know, being educated about it. It's like when we go knock on doors every 2 years here for my campaign, it's not difficult for me to convince a voter to vote for me because I've been here. They know me. I've helped them or somebody they know. I don't know what the situation is there. And, you know, especially in a congressional seat where there's not a lot of door knocking.
Yeah.
It's more mail and TV and things like that. I wish that vetting process would be on an individual voter basis, just to say, okay, who is this guy? Who do I know that might know this guy? Let me have a conversation. I get how people are busy, and I get how the world has changed in the last 30 years, and how social media dominates that, and, you know, information gathering, quote unquote. Yeah, yeah. You can't see my air quotes on radio, sorry, I shouldn't do them. But
I do it all the time.
Right. But I just that's where it comes down to the voter's responsibility, just to make sure you actually know the person you're voting for, and it's hard to put any other requirements on it besides that.
The vetting process has to be an individual, you know, voter thing. Anything above that starts to get into some dicey area of, you know, who the haves and the have-nots maybe, or other things and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, just get away from this R and this D thing. It's beyond time to move past all of this stuff. I mean, just because I live in a Republican-leaning district doesn't mean I'm voting for the Republican if it's a guy like George Santos.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Come on. You know, I mean, you know, I might get castigated a little bit for this, but I've actually voted for a Democrat in my life before. Right? you pick the person that's going to best represent you in the area that you live in, not just because they have a letter behind their name that you like.
It's the spoiled position I'm in, Ed, that I used to talk with Carl about this, or actually I should say Carl used to talk to me about this, and I finally get where he was coming from now. It's like, James, it's different here. In our area, the representatives we have, the people we have, it's not so much about the D or the R or any of that thing as much as about the issues and the people.
Yeah.
So we're a little spoiled in some ways around here, and rightfully so. We've earned that. We voted people into office that had do these things and actually, you know, represent us in some way or another. But it also gives me a pause to look at the rest of the country and say, well, if it's working here, it could work in other places. Yeah. And it brings me back to Gary Hart. Yeah, because when we were kids, that was the biggest story in the world at the time.
I mean, can you imagine it now? It'd be like, oh, okay, whatever.
Nowadays, Gary Hart would just double down.
Right.
He would just double down on it and everything and just keep going forward because that's the new bit. It's not in owning your problem or owning your mistakes. It's doubling down and saying, well, yeah, I did lie and I'm still here. Look at me. And the idea of
what are you going to do about it? Yeah, you know. Yeah.
And I don't want to sound like, because I understand the company I work for and everything and the majority of our radio, but that's not my radio. That's not the way I run things.
Yeah.
And they know me. They know how I do things, and I won't be here much longer if they don't like it. So that's okay with everybody.
Same here.
But I'll say that both sides can be guilty of this, but we see right now a lack of shame in politics.
Yeah.
And That has a trickle down effect. That isn't a real trickle down effect. Where if I'm a little kid and I'm watching that and I'm seeing representatives, I'm seeing politicians, I'm seeing presidents who have no shame, who double down on things instead of owning their mistakes. Yeah. What do we think the next generations are going to do when they're in those positions?
It's a perfect timing to talk about this. So the AP broke a story yesterday about how they got some internal documents from the Trump team back in 2020. About how when they saw that they were outflanked by the Democrats in the election, the conversation automatically turned to, let's plant the seed.
Yeah.
So, whoa, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Come on. You know, this is, you know, you started seeing some inkling of it in 16, and you saw it again in 20, and now there's this trickle down that you mentioned that goes out to the populace, to a certain percentage of people that say, oh, yep, that's got to be what happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is getting dangerous. This is getting dicey. This is where it leads to things that happened in New Jersey the other night where a sitting councilwoman was assassinated. This is where this rhetoric is taking people that don't want to listen to both sides of a story. And it's scary. Yeah. It is flat out scary for anybody that serves in public office to listen to stories like the councilwoman in New Jersey who was assassinated just for her beliefs. A great woman. She's dedicated to her church, dedicated to her family. Yeah. Everybody liked her except for, I call them the crazies.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Who just, I did air quotes again. What am I doing? That's weird. But yeah, it's just, and you think about where all of our families come down on those types of things when they see stories like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hurtful to see all that rhetoric coming from the top down.
I was just talking about this in the recent weeks with our sheriff's department, and Sheriff Becker and I have talked about this a lot. The first conversation I had with him off air was, look, I want to do my best. Part of what I feel my job is to get the information you want out there and to show that you're a human being. Yeah, you're not a badge. Yeah. You're a human being.
Yeah.
I feel the same way about our representatives. We need more of this in society. You can disagree with a person. It's hard to fight an idea. It's hard to fight a statement or something.
Right.
And if you just break that down and just look at the person, hopefully we can, you know, clear out some of this stuff. We've always had crazies. We've always had insanity in politics and in the world and all this.
They just never had the megaphone before.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's where it came down from. And that's why this session I decided I wanted to take on the assembly campaigns and the election stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not my background. It's not my forte. It's just, it's one of those things where you need an adult in the room.
Yes.
You need to have conversation. You need to have a way of actually getting something accomplished, understanding that different political parties are at the top of each chain of government. If somebody wants something changed with the election integrity issues right now, it's got to be something that's got to be agreed upon between the legislature, which is Republican, and the governor, who's a Democrat. Well, you know, I don't have a magic wand, so the other way to figure that out is to compromise.
Mm. Yeah.
That dirty word, right? Oh, my goodness.
Horrible
word,
compromise.
I know. And people keep saying, well, if you compromise, you're giving up this, you're giving up that. I'm like, but if you're getting 90% of something that you want, how is that a bad thing? Right? I mean, there's a good way to compromise, there's a bad way to compromise. I could roll over and take whatever I'm given, or I can fight for the things that make sense and that I would say are the important things in the argument. It's not an awful thing to do. I mean, I don't get where this fell out of favor. I don't get where we can't have conversation anymore. I'm in real estate. I mean, I got into real estate because I like making deals.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, politics is sales, and that's exactly what both of my jobs are, is it's all about sales, figuring out who's got what and how to get the other person interested in it and make it work. So it's the same exact job, just a little bit different location.
You're more on the front lines than I am when it comes to constituents and going door to door and everything. I know from my end of things that I'm seeing bits of hope, not just in our state but around the country.
Yeah.
Are you seeing some of that too? Because I do think that you got to go through the darkness to get to the light, kind of thing. And I think that
we've said that 100 times on the show in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's gonna get nasty. It's gonna get dirty. It's gonna be dark. It's gonna suck for a while. But it always comes back around. If you look at the history of politics throughout our nation and the rest of the world, you're always going to go through these corrective periods, I call them, where then, you know, you get back to a time between, say, 2002 and 2015.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after everybody kind of got over the 9/11 initial shock, everybody was kumbaya for a few years, and that kind of played out till 15, and then 16, something changed, right?
Yeah.
And now we're in this corrective period, 16 to probably 24, you'll probably start turning around.
Sure.
We'll be fine.
Yeah, that's the thing
right.
that I always end on.
Right.
I believe in this country. I believe in the people of this country. I believe in our democracy. And I don't believe that any one person or any one thing is going to tear the whole thing down.
Right.
I don't think that's even possible, even if you wanted to. Like, I don't think you could do it. That's the way the system is built. Our democracy is built so that that can't happen.
And even if you're a mega-type Republican...
Mm-hmm.
Which there's nothing wrong with those principles and those theories, right? I mean, I get that. I mean, I liked the things that were accomplished under the administration. I didn't like necessarily the way it was sold and the way it was pitched and the way it was carried out. But even if you're a mega-type Republican, there's never going to be anybody that's going to convince me that there's only one person that could ever lead that type of movement.
Right, right.
I mean, the only time I ever believe in one thing that's going to lead anything is my belief in God.
Right.
And we're not putting one person at the level of a deity in American government. That's just not how it works. So even if you get to those points, be open to who can lead that type of movement besides just saying, that's the only guy. Mm-hmm. There's no way anybody else is going to be able to do what he does. I'm like, that's not how it works.
I think we'll save this as we get a little closer. I've been sitting on the whole thing of the Trump DeSantis thing.
Yeah,
one of these days, I would love to get into that with you a little bit more.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about with you today, but
absolutely.
That would take at least 20 minutes to talk about, I think.
Yeah, we'll book that for when it gets closer.
Sounds good. Yeah. I do wanted to talk to you about this article that came out from Wisconsin Public Radio. Shout out to Ryan Keene with the nice reporting. Amtrak's plans for Wisconsin and the greater Midwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is... interesting to me, especially my background where I come from in Illinois. You can't get anywhere without Amtrak or the L, you know, or any of these things.
Yep.
Public transportation is huge in there, in most states, especially in like a state like Illinois. I've always, since I've lived in this state, I love Wisconsin, but I've always wondered, well, we could use a little more of this, it seems like. Can we get, I don't know, and I don't mean to put you on the spot with this, but if there's any history to why this hasn't happened before, maybe, and what you think this could do for our state.
Yeah, it's a conversation that started a couple of months before I took office. After my election in November 2010, we had a big conversation about federal government was looking to give grants out of the stimulus funds to states to expand high-speed rail.
Mm.
And Wisconsin was on the block to get a grant from the federal government for something like $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then elect Governor Walker said, no, I don't think we're going to do this. So let's just put that on the back burner.
Mm.
And then as we started watching these expansions take place all over the country, we started seeing where the federal government money was tip of the iceberg for what the cost and maintenance of these projects would be. So there's a project in California right now.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, the cost overrun was like 80% of the project.
Yeah.
I mean, and yes, we've got a surplus in Wisconsin, but I don't think we can afford to supplement that much of the surplus into high-speed rail when, honestly, you know, the levels that we would need are nowhere near what Chicago would provide, right? Like we go from Chicago to the Dells, basically, which is usable, but even those numbers are very sparse and hard to support expansion right now. Maybe if you had the Fox Valley to Milwaukee to Chicago, maybe there's some oomph there if there's some opportunities for money besides coming out of the state budget. But I just don't see anybody, even the governor, wanting to take state budget dollars right now, putting it towards Amtrak expansion. But it's out there. I mean, every budget we have the conversation about public transportation and how it is impacted by our transportation budget. The governor took some of the money that we allocated for local roads, put it towards public transportation projects. It's out there, but I don't see high-speed rail being in the conversation anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm curious to see, because I agree with what you're saying there. At the same time, I'm seeing the numbers of car sales going down, of people driving going down.
Right. Yeah.
And I would hate to get into a situation where we got to play defense instead of offense on this subject and have it too late. These things take time to build and stuff, and we don't want to be sitting in a situation where we need this and we're waiting years for it to happen.
Yeah.
People being able to get to work, people being able to get to appointments and things, vital part of the human experience.
I mean, you look at everything that I've done the last, 15, 16 years. I commuted to Green Bay every day from central Wisconsin. I'm commuting to Madison almost every day from central Wisconsin. I am not the exception to the rule.
Hmm.
My dad commuted from Rapids to Wausau for 20 years. and it's the way that central Wisconsin works is, you know, everybody's a commuter. Nobody's nobody lives and works in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the bigger cities, that's more and more of a thing.
Oh, yeah.
But we also look at everything that's going on nowadays, and work from home is massively huge.
Right.
Right? So I've got all these people that are coming into Wisconsin Rapids buying houses that used to live here, but they've got a job in Minneapolis, or they got a job in Los Angeles. Mm. So those two things balance out really good to say, well, maybe not yet, but you know, I get where you're going with it, though. I'd love to see us have a new revenue stream to be able to support that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something outside of the pressures that we already have on the big five things that we spend, education, corrections, you know, public safety, examples like that. You know, and one of those things that we have that conversation constantly about this session is marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a revenue stream?
That was my next thing.
Right. I mean, toll booths, is that, you know, there's revenue streams that can be tapped into. You know, if we can get some of our Illinois friends to pay to come to Wisconsin a little bit more, it might help.
It might, yeah. So, yeah. Well, and it would be smart on their part. It would be only because there's plenty of people that work from Illinois to Wisconsin, you know, and that kind of thing. Yeah. So that would make a lot of sense. Obviously, the jobs it would create and those things are all great, but you don't want to. I mean, there's many small towns like ours that deal with this where you've got just empty buildings sitting there. You don't want that either. Right. You don't want something that on that end of things. We've only got 5 minutes, so we have we're near the time to talk about
plenty
this.
Plenty of time.
You mentioned legalizing marijuana, and we've touched on this a little bit here, and Senator Tessin and I talked about this recently as well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much curious about how you feel necessary, because you've already told us of how you feel about this. How much closer do you think this is to actually happening? Because I think it's only a matter of time before, and I'm only talking about the legalization of medical marijuana.
Yeah, right. So here's the grand scheme, right? So the legislature and the governor have been fighting for 4 years on pretty much everything and anything, right? We write a bill, he vetoes it, blah, blah, blah. We all fight about it in the media.
Yeah.
You know, it's getting tired, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think both sides have kind of said, okay, let's put this aside. Let's figure out what we can actually agree on.
Yeah.
And I think there's some room that we could see a grand compromise come up in the state budget. Something that I've wanted to pitch for a while is we've been talking on our side of the aisle, air quotes again, about the ability to have universal school choice. Let parents send kids wherever schools they need to, public, private, whatever it is. The money follows the kids.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a good product as a public school, that's great. You just, you know, compete. Just make sure people earn their way and blah, you know, all that stuff. And the governor has been talking about recreational marijuana for 6-8 years now, saying I wanted something better, bigger, open. I would love to see a grand compromise where we made a trade with the governor. Like, here's your medical marijuana program. Maybe we even get to a recreational marijuana program. We're going to tax it 15%. We're going to take the proceeds of it, put it towards universal school choice. You get what you want. We get what we want. People in Wisconsin see we're getting things done. Kids are better educated. The more libertarian people like myself have a little more freedom to deal with. If you wanted to use a substance, great. If you're not, you know, I am a libertarian at heart. What happens inside the four walls of your home, that's your business, not mine. I'm in Madison to deal with state budgets, public safety, not to worry about gay marriage and marijuana and these things.
Yeah.
I am open enough in 2022 or 2023, I should say now, to know that the world's changing around me. I'm fine with it if we can get to it. I think the Senate's there. I think the Assembly is very close.
It's also a matter of, I say it's a matter of time before it happens, I think, because that's the way the rest of the country is going.
Yeah, tell me why it already is.
I think about our farmers. I think of our ag industry. Right. I think of people dealing with cancer that need this for
pain. So many people are driving to South Beloit. So many people are driving to the UP.
There's a ton of Wisconsin money being spent in other states around us.
Yeah, so it is happening already. So why not just rip off the Band-Aid and get this thing done? So,
do you think now, as far as the your coworkers and everything in Madison, that's one thing. What about constituents? What about when you talk to people? Do you think that your people are becoming a little bit more open to this? Because it's not surprising now to hear a politician D or R in front of their name be in favor of this or talk. You know, like open-minded about it.
Right.
Do you hear people talking about it that way?
So when I talk to groups nowadays and I talk about, okay, we can get some of these things you want if we're able to give some of the things they want type of discussions, everybody's like, yeah, just get something done.
Yeah.
Just I don't care. I don't care what it is. Just do it.
Yeah.
Would you please just show that we've sent people to Madison to actually get something done?
I think that's the most consistent thing I hear from people is just getting, not so much what you're getting done, just get some stuff done.
I just want to hear that you guys passed a bill, the governor signed it. I don't care what it is. Just I want to see a picture of people getting pens again. You know?
Free air, everybody. Yeah, everybody's going to breathe for free from now. Right, it's like anything. Like, we'll take it. We'll do it.
Yeah, people miss the handshake pictures. And so yeah, I think people are there. And when I bring that up as one of the things we would trade, everybody's like, yeah, okay, so what?
I always like to wrap up on a good one here, and we are just we're this much closer to pitchers and catchers showing up.
12 days?
Yeah, man.
It's
right around the corner.
I can't wait.
I love that hat, man. Scott's got an awesome Milwaukee Brewer hat on. I haven't seen that one.
That's it is held up throughout the entire last campaign. I wear it to the Y every day, so this thing has been through the ringer, and it still holds its shape. It's falling apart a little bit, but this is my favorite hat I've ever had, so I'm going to be sad when it disappears. But
We hang on to our hats as long as we can. I've got one from like high school, I think.
I'll tell you the story of what I was in ninth grade. I had a pair of Magic Johnson Converse that I wore for 3.5 years.
Yes, I remember those.
Oh my God, those purple and gold, beautiful.
Yeah, they were awesome shows. Oh, yes.
Anyways,
Scott, we always appreciate the time. If people have follow up questions or want to talk to you about other things, you certainly are always open to taking those conversations. How can they get a hold of you?
Cell phone. It's always on 715-323-3293.
Looking forward to hanging out again real soon. You take care of yourself, and you and yours have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. Take care.
We'll be back with more Morning Magazine right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes. From loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. Cloudy skies expected this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 5 above. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, lows dip down to about 2 above. Overcast skies tomorrow, highs level off around 29. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 9 below.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this February 3rd, 2023, 10:35 on the clock. And you have your host, James J. here. Thanks so much for joining me. Right now in studio, I have some of the cast of Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Foxes group. We're going to talk about the old-time classic radio theater, Roses, Romance, and Valentines, that is going to be premiering on February 9th at 2 o'clock and February 10th at 6 o'clock over at the wonderful theater over at the Centralia Center at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. I want everybody to introduce themselves. And that way the audience will recognize your voice to your name. So we'll start right. We'll just go down the line here.
Hi, my name is Jerry.
Jerry, thanks for being here, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Tronda.
Tronda, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
And I'm Chris Williams.
It sounds familiar. Hey, Chris, good to see you. Always good to see you, sir.
Too, James.
Appreciate the time, you guys. Thanks so much for coming in and being here, and not just putting up with me, but appreciate what you guys do for the community. Not only do you guys entertain and put on good shows and everything, but I believe the Silver Foxes is one of those great things to be able to show people. You could do these things. You can do stuff that you've never done before. You can do something at any age, that you can always have fun, that you can always be entertaining and do these stuff. We don't have enough of this stuff in society. So I really appreciate the work that you guys do. And as I get closer and closer to that age, I'm only saying this so that I could be a part of Silver Fox. Is what I'm joking. Do appreciate the time. Let's go ahead right into the show. Roses, Romance, and Valentines. Who would like to kind of take the head of this and explain what the show is about? And I look at you, Chris, because you're my go-to with this one. So.
Yeah. Well, we're attempting to kind of do a recreation of a old-time radio show in a radio studio. And we've downloaded some scripts from actual radio shows that were back in what they call the golden age of radio. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a good list of four shows that we're going to be having in this production.
The concept is so awesome. Like many people out there, even though it wasn't necessarily my generation, I grew up on a lot of old radio, and certainly grew up listening to old radio programs and shows, and it's part of the reason I'm in this industry. I think that one of the fun things to me to do with acting, and when it comes to like talking to my students about acting or anything, it's we have this warm-up sketch bit that we do. It's called Silent Film, and they've got like three or four students got to work together, and they can't talk, but they got to work through a scene, and it's hilarious every time you see them do this the first time, because you got to stop them as soon as they make a noise, and it's sure a minute or two in and you're stopping them, whereas some of our older students, you ask them to do this and you got to almost stop them because the skit will just keep going. It's interesting to see that difference there. And I also talking to people, one of the things that I think that you're going to hopefully see with your audience is some younger people in there, because I think a lot of younger people are interested in this medium, this idea of radio theater and talking about that. So that's exciting too, and it's fun to be able to bring something like that forward. Chris, do you know where the idea for this came from?
Well, I sort of brought it up.
I had a feeling.
I Well, of course, you know, I was living in Minnesota for a few years, and I was part of a small community theater over there, and this is where I got my first taste of it, because they've been doing old radio shows for years. So when we moved over here, I thought, what a great idea this would be for the Silver Foxes, because people that know the Silver Foxes know that you typically don't memorize lines, so we do productions using scripts. So we actually read scripts when we do our show. So this is just tailor-made for something like that.
Yeah, for those that may not know, that's how radio theater worked. Nobody ever memorized lines and everything. I've Jackie Gleason's one of the guys that I looked up to growing up, and he did a lot of radio theater, and I've heard him in interviews talk about it, how he would show up, see the script, let's go. And then you listen to it, and it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, he did really good work and everything. And it's like, I saw it for like 5 seconds before he went on live with it. And back then, so much, almost everything was live. So it was just kind of how you had to be. It's interesting that while Silver Foxes has done this with all their shows, it's so tailor-made and fits so perfectly for radio theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of course, I mentioned that this is going to be coming up on February 9th and February 10th, right around Valentine's Day. So I'm imagining that some of the themes of these stories and these things are going to be a little romantic, if you will.
Yeah, all our shows are going to. It's all going to be based on Valentine's Day. So
right up as a foolish romantic, I love it. I love that. So let's go ahead and get into some of the characters you guys are going to be playing and a little bit of your background. Let's start there with your background. It's one of the things I like to highlight whenever we have Silver Foxes joining us. There are crazy, insane people like me out there that have wanted to act, have been acting since I was 7 and Screen Actors Guild and all this stuff and everything. I'm insane. I want to talk to normal people who want to do acting just for fun, because that's the way it really should be. And a little bit of your background, if you wouldn't mind, too. And Jerry, I'll start with you. Jerry, just tell us a little bit about your background and if you have acted before.
I have never acted in public before. I've acted out at home. My wife will tell you that.
I knew I was going to like you, Jerry. I thought from the hat right away, but then yes,
Yes, but I enjoyed. I enjoyed watching TV, the comedies. I enjoyed watching, go back on YouTube now and I can watch old radio.
Yeah,
I can watch anything I want to watch, you know, and that is so cool for a guy like me who, you know, had to turn a TV knob like
that.
Oh,
yeah, I remember.
And turn the volume up or down by your foot. If you're laying on the floor, you could do that just otherwise. But, you know, I enjoy it. I've watched and laughed and loved radio, TV, and movies all my life and music.
You mentioned that you haven't acted before.
No.
Do you mind what field do you come from or currently doing? I don't know if you're retired or not, so I didn't want to assume that you're left the field or anything. But what kind of, what was your background?
Okay. I have left the field and I was in I was put there once, but I came out of there and I was actually very introverted growing up and so on, and I was always, you know, stuck in the back row, and they'd call me up to the room, you know, to, you know, would you write out this math problem, and then, you know, there'd be some kid in this front row going, oh, geez, we have to sit here for this, you know, and I wanted to go out and recess and grab a Schwinn and wrap it around him and put up the flagpole, but you can't do that. Yeah. No, so those are the things that were going through my mind when the teacher would say, what are you doing? And I go, daydreaming?
Right. So this is something that you mentioned you liked listening to radio, all those things. Yeah. When it came to being a part of Silver Foxes, this is new for you. You haven't done anything like this before. How did that get started? How did you get a bug in you to do it?
I recently came back from, my wife and I spent 28 years in the Phoenix Valley. We was once in Wisconsin. We fled in 96, and then we came back here this summer, and we moved to this town. It's a beautiful town, a beautiful river fronts, and it's got a lot of things to do here and so on, but we know no one. And so this is, I found a way to, we're looking at things to do around, and got the magazines and newspapers, and I saw the Silver Foxes, and I said, why not? I better do it now before, you know, I forget my last name. So.
Good on you. Are you enjoying it?
I am good. Enjoying it. I was asked the other day by the captain, Tim, if I'm having fun, and I said, oh, I'm having fun, but am I having fun or am I panicking? I'm not sure yet.
Sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. They're very close in emotion, on the emotional spectrum and everything. So, yeah. Thank you for that, Jerry. Thank you for sharing all that. Tronda, how about for you? Have you acted before? Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, hi. Actually, I haven't acted before either.
Okay.
A similar story. In high school, I always wanted to, but I was shy. I used to watch my brother do it.
Mm.
And I moved here 3 years ago. And looking for something to do as well. I used to work at preschool and after school. So didn't want to sit home, wanted something to do, and this is great. Again, I saw it online, and I called, came down, and here I am. I'm loving it.
Oh, good to hear. Very good to hear. Were you a teacher before?
Just preschool.
Just preschool. Still. We appreciate that. I appreciate our teachers. That's really cool to hear. I'm glad that you both have brought up the introvert thing, because I'm a classic introvert myself, always have been, it's one of those things that I think gets misled sometimes when we have people that look at this world and, you know, I'd like to try acting or I'd like to try singing or something like that, and then they talk themselves out of it. And usually one of the ways they do that is, well, I'm an introvert. I promise you, 90% of the actors you love, most of the musicians you love, introverts, like most of us are, that get into this business and everything. It's one of the ways, I think Jerry touched on something important there. It's one of the ways we meet and make friendships and know people. When I first moved out here from Chicago, I was not good at making friends. It wasn't until recess and kids saw how fast I was and like, oh, what's his name? We're going to pick him on our team and stuff. And all of a sudden, and then acting also helped me in that world to make friends and stuff. It's one of those encouraging things that I try to tell people out there. If for every person that takes this business way too seriously, there are people like yourselves that are enjoying the process, enjoying this. And that's what more of community theater is, especially Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, where you're not going to do anything there, whether it's a main stage play or something with Silver Foxes, and not enjoy yourself. That's the whole point. Entertaining people, yes, keeping the lights on are important. But you guys, if you're not having a good time, the audience isn't going to have a good time, and the whole thing is defeated. When it comes to doing something like this, Tronda, what got you kind of the ball rolling for you to finally get into acting and doing this?
Once I was doing it, and like you said, I could come out and just have fun with it, be that flirty woman kind of thing. So, yes, I could just come out and do it and enjoy it and think, wow, I did that.
Does seem like a fun character to play. Does seem like,
by the way, fun. Yeah, she makes a good flirty
character. Yeah, that's it. Nicely done. Nicely done. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Chris, you and I have talked before about this as far as your background and your experience with acting and with WRCT. Just for the audience that may not remember, give them a little synopsis if you don't mind.
Oh, okay. I've been involved with the theater about 3.5 years now. Again, it's like everyone. I'm originally from the area, and we moved back, but I just wanted to get involved. And again, I was in theater over in Minnesota. So contacted the theater, got in touch with Tim, and he was just kind of starting himself at the time, and again, it went from there.
When it comes to for lack of a better way to put it, getting a return on your investment. You put time into these things, you rehearse, you train, you at home going over your script or at rehearsals. Do you feel that, especially for you two that are newer to this, do you feel that you're getting the what you hope for out of this? Jerry, do you feel like your time is being used well? Do you feel like this has been a good use of your time and all that?
I think it's been a great use for my time. You can ask my wife. I leave, and it's very nice when I'm not there, apparently. And she goes, oh, you're home again. So, no, I just love the people that are involved there, and because I didn't know what to expect, and I had no idea what kind of a group I was getting into. I still don't know, but I have some ideas, and these people are great. It's just that Tim came. I talked to Tim first, he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I don't know, something in carpentry. I could help, put up a stage or something. And he said, well, we'll see what we can do. And then all of a sudden, he gave me a call, and somebody's back. They needed someone because somebody was ill or something and mm-hmm. dropped out, and all of a sudden instead of doing carpentry, I had four different characters.
That's crazy. In
three shows.
Yeah, it's
awesome.
I think, as you well know, because you've been in some shows also, that the camaraderie in the theater is just, it's, I don't know, it you can't describe it, and you kind of yearn for it too, mm-hmm. so it keeps you coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Tronda, have you felt that you've gotten your money's worth, if you will, one way to put it?
Yes, definitely. Right on. It's like you said, it's our group. You look forward to coming every week. The response you get then when you put on your play, the audience, and thank you, and the response.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah.
There's no feeling in the world like it.
Exactly.
There's nothing else like
right.
it.
Yeah, it's fun to make people happy.
It is fun to see them respond. Yes.
And actually, something Chris was touching on there, I want to pick up when we come back from break. Got to take a really quick commercial break. We'll do that, come back, and have some more fun with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, Silver Foxes, talking about their recent coming up show, Roses, Romance, and Valentines, here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
Sweet strawberry icing.
You're in Goodwill, and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings, and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A wind chill advisory continues until noon today. High temperatures reach up to 5 above this afternoon under overcast skies, winds out of the west 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows level off around 2 above. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, highs level off around 29. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 7 below.
Welcome back, everyone, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this February 3rd, 2023. Your host, James, here, and I'm joined by Chris, Tronda, and Jerry from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater Silver Foxes, talking about Roses, Romance, and Valentines, their upcoming studio theater production. It'll be on February 9th at 2 o'clock and February 10th at 6. You can get tickets at wrctheater.org. Chris and I are going to get into a little more of the details of the show in a moment, but before we do, you kind of touched on something a little bit, Chris, that I got my brain going in another direction too. I think especially in the last 4 or 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it's been since the pandemic and all that, more and more people are looking for ways to give back and put into their community. I mentioned this before, and I think I actually was talking about it earlier on the morning show. I would love to be able to be a nurse or a doctor and be able to help people with those things or something. That's not my wheelhouse. I'm an actor. This is the skills I was given and everything. So what can you do with that? I can play a doctor. I can do that, but that ain't going to help anybody. But I can make people laugh. I can make people think. I can take people away from their day for a little bit and give them a break, give them some recess from their brain maybe, or something like that. And that for me really flipped when I started working here, and the importance of our station, and especially during that time, and being able to give back. It's not at all on the same level of a teacher or a doctor or any of those things, But it's what we got. It's the skill set we were given. Each of you have mentioned as well that moving back to the area, has part of the reason why you're part of Silver Foxes and stuff, to a little bit of that, whether it's subconscious or not, but a way to kind of give back and kind of put into your community? And I'll start with you, Jerry.
I enjoy being here in Wisconsin Rapids. I like to give back any way I can. At one time, I was a hospice volunteer. I did that. I'd go to people to give the caretaker a break, mm-hmm. and so I could listen and be there as a good listener to the yeah. folks, because they had stories to tell yet, and some mm-hmm. of them they never would tell their closest relative or anybody, but they had something they wanted to say, and that was the one that they told, and that was fantastic. The money was really good. It was nothing,
right?
Nothing to get out of it, but I got a lot out of it,
yeah.
and just to give somebody a little peace yeah. of mind, you know, yeah. at a key time.
I admire that. I admire that a lot, Jerry. Thank you for sharing that, Tronda. How about you?
Yes, definitely giving back. I believe, like I said, getting the responses from the audiences, letting them get away for the day or the evening, having fun, laughing, just enjoying. keep our resources here, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Well said. Chris?
Yeah. It was coming back to the area. It's really funny because you go about town and everything is like, I know you. You look familiar, and you're from my past, but I can't remember exactly yeah. how. And so, and even meeting some of the people that were in my past, Linda Garsby.
Mm. Oh, sure.
Her and I worked at McDonald's in high school together.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. So it's been really fun.
Yeah.
And I knew to the theater back when I worked at the Tribune part-time for a while, and was aware of the theater then, but I didn't do any acting at that mm-hmm. time. So, so it's been really fun coming back and getting involved and putting on a show for people that really make their day a better thing.
With radio shows, oftentimes people are playing multiple characters. So you don't have to necessarily get too detailed here, but if you want to tell us a little bit about one of the characters or the type of characters you guys are playing, I'd love to hear some of that. And Jerry, again, putting you on the spot first.
I just yesterday became Riley of Life of Riley. William Bendix and yeah. Jackie Gleason used
yes,
to play his part.
Yes,
and it's a blue-collar guy from the days in back in the 1940s, and is not happy with getting beans, so close to Valentine's
so
Day
good, yeah.
for supper. So he revolted, mm-hmm. And then bolted back. But at any mm-hmm. rate, and that's one of them. Then I play Mr. Dithers, the Blondie's Dagwood's boss, a construction company boss, a grumpy old guy too. And for some reason, I get picked for grumpy people. I didn't know that came across.
Typecast. Yeah, just say now you can't shake it sometimes.
I come up with the Eddie Haskell laugh.
And you do it well, my friend.
And then the last one is a Lucille Ball radio show that she had a year before she started, I Love Lucy, and I play her husband in that one. So he's a fairly normal person, which is really unusual for me.
I think I know the show you're talking about. That's a really good one, too. Oh, that's cool. Tronda, how about you?
Yes, I play an announcer to begin with, and then I switch. And that's the other fun thing, is trying to switch and get into character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, again, that flirty woman to flirt yeah. with Dagwood on Blondie and Dagwood.
Oh, okay.
And then my last skit, I'm the judge, to judge about a husband and a wife.
Hmm. Very cool. Very cool. And Chris?
Yeah. I kind of jumped in. We had a couple people that had started and weren't able to be with us because of family issues, this type of thing. But so I play little parts. I'm in Life of Riley and not in Blondie. And but then in our third show is called The Bickersons. Mm. And anyone who's familiar with that, it was Don Ameche and Francis Langford mm. starred in that. And it's basically about a couple that just goes back and forth. Just goes back and forth.
It's a good one.
And it's fantastic. I love the show, and I'm glad I can get to do it
just
in front of an audience.
Love that we got to mention the name Dom Amici on the air. It's been too long. It's been too long since I said that name.
Yeah.
We've got like a minute or two here, Chris. Okay. Can we just kind of go over a little bit of what the stories that you guys are going to be doing?
Sure. Yeah. And again, they're all related to Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. So we're doing four shows: The Life of Riley, Blondie, The Bickersons, and again, what Jerry is saying, my favorite husband was a radio show that Lucille Ball starred in. Mm-hmm. And they're just great shows. Yeah. I can't wait to do them in front of an audience. And all very funny. And I would probably pick out Blondie as one mm-hmm. Going to be one of our best. It's just hilarious.
That's a classic. There's another couple classics in there, and there's some stuff that I don't think are as commonly known. And look, I can watch an episode of one of my favorite TV shows last week, and by the following week, I need the following on. I don't remember what happened and
right.
stuff. So like a lot of this stuff, I think, is going to be fresh to people, even if they grew up on it.
Right. Just to make people know that these are actual radio shows that were broadcast. So this time they're all from the 40s. But so we have some resources. We're able to download the original scripts that the actors use, and so that's what we're reading off of.
And commercials.
Oh,
brought
nice.
To you by cameras.
Right, yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Hundreds of thousands of them to our men overseas.
Yeah, I know.
That's awesome. You guys are awesome. Break a leg. Have a great run. Enjoy yourselves. And if you're out there listening and thinking, well, this sounds like a lot of fun, I would like to be a part of this, we encourage you, whether it's Silver Foxes or Hopo, or